Don't you guys ever get tired of ordering the same things?
No.
Uh-oh, don't look, Stacy.
Where? Oh, God, I made eye contact.
Oh, psycho hose beast.
Happy anniversary, Wayne.
Stacy, we broke up 2 months ago.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't still go out.
Well, it does, actually. That's what breaking up is.
Will, are you going to go to the gasworks tonight?
No. No!
Don't you want to open your present?
If it's a severed head, I'm going to be very upset.
Open it.
Okay. What is it?
It's a gun rack.
A gun rack? A gun rack. Yeah, right. I don't even own a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack. What am I gonna do with a gun rack?
You don't like it? Fine. You know, Wayne, if you're not careful, you're gonna lose me.
I lost you 2 months ago. Are you mental? We broke up. Get the net.
Pre-recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Well, I like to roll up my sleeves and, you know, get involved.
Mr. President, did you by any chance take your back pills?
Well, I don't mind telling you, CJ, I was in a little pain there.
Which did you take, sir, the Vicodin or the Percocet?
I wasn't supposed to take them both.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
See, I'm getting cerebral with this stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be the double W show open.
West, I get it. And Wayne's, wow.
West Wing, Wayne's World.
Wow, wow. That's pretty impressive.
Fun with the alphabet.
Indeed. Oh, ladies, how I missed the Bartlett administration.
Oh, my God. That's such a great episode. 5 points down was the episode.
One of my favorites.
Anytime
where legislative agenda in your ass.
Anytime where Bartlett is a little loopy or awkward is going to be a great episode. In fact, I can't wait for the Thanksgiving edition of the Bob and Elvis Show, because then I'll get to play
the turkey one.
The turkey one, yeah.
The Butterball Hotline.
I'm a citizen.
I'm a citizen. I'm sure you are, sir, but I need your name for my customer appreciation form.
Oh, my God. That was just the West Wing was just a saving grace for the first 10 years of.
Well, I told you, during the whole Bush years, I just played it over and over again and pretended it was a documentary about the president.
Hey, how you doing? It's the Bob and Elvis Show. Bob Seska here in Pennsylvania. That's me, and Elvis Dingledean there in Nebraska.
That's me.
Big show. I don't even know. We were saying before the show, I don't even know where to start, other than. Well, maybe I'll just mention this. First of all, the show is brought to you today by Bubble Genius and Pomegranate Journeys. New commercials from them this week. Also, my cat is an asshole.
All cats are. That's redundant.
I got an iPhone, as we discussed last week, and I have the earpiece, which I use religiously because I can't stand to have the hot phone pressed against my face. And then the subsequent, you know, rectangle of cancer that will develop in that space.
So, wouldn't that be great if we all just got phone-shaped cancer? you could just see it. It'd be like a patch of cancerous, you know, squamous cells shaped like your various phones. So you could recognize, oh, you're an iPhone user. You've got an iPhone. You've got it'd be like a burned patch with like an inverted Apple symbol on it, where the Apple symbol was kind of cooler than the rest of the phone. That would be awesome. And you can tell, Matt, you know, regular phone, iPhone, mm-hmm. just by the burns on their face.
And so anyway, I have this earpiece, you know, that comes along with the iPhone, and I left it sitting here on my desk, mistakenly, knowing that my cat is an asshole. And I have several cats. I mean, I'm, you know, sort of leaving out the other asshole cats, because each and every one of them is an asshole in some way or another. But one particular cat, named Homer, not only knocks over my garbage can and empties the garbage all over the floor, but then also ate this earpiece. I mean, just severed it in several places.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was just a play thing. I guess he looked at it and goes, oh, well, look, it's a piece of string or something, and I've got to eat this.
And it's an Apple accessory, so replacing it will cost you, what, $699.99?
That's right. A new 5-year contract will be required to get the new earpiece, right?
Well, your cat problems pale in comparison, my friend. I'm over the weekend, we went from 9 to 17 cats, and then we lost one, so we're down to 16 now. So it's just really a cat mill out here, an accidental feral cat creation factory.
I just can't get over 9 cats.
Yeah. Well, 17. Well, 16 17. Now.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
There's like a documentary. There's like a documentary series about that. It's like you're like an animal hoarder.
Yeah. Well, again, they're not inside, so it doesn't count. I don't get the crazy cat guy credit because they're not inside unless one of them darts in when I open the door to go outside, but they do help with the mice population. So,
you're not like that episode of Hoarders where you just have to sit on a throne of garbage in the middle of your kitchen and there's like cats roaming all around.
I didn't say that. I do have hoarding tendencies. I have papers and things from literally when I was 10, 11 years old. Yeah. So.
Well, there's collecting and then there's hoarding. I mean, I don't think you've got, you know, serious issues. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Hoarders.
Yeah.
But I watched the first several episodes, and literally the first one, the woman who the hoarder decided that maybe it was time to change things because she had to strap herself onto a chair in the middle of this pile of garbage in her kitchen and ended up falling out of the chair and trapped in this garbage in the middle of the night, then decided, okay, you know what? Maybe I've got a problem with the hoarding.
She had to call C-3PO and tell them to shut down all the garbage compactors in the detention hall.
Right. And, so they came in and they were digging up, just pulling out all these giant piles of garbage. The people from that 1-800 hauling service that they use for hoarders.
Got trash.
Yeah. I mean, they're coming in there with like T-shirts and rubber gloves.
Yeah, disgusting. I know a hoarder. That's why I watch it. A friend of a friend, and it's horribly depressing. It's a terrible illness. And this person has children, and a brand new baby, and you just like don't bring a. You want to tell the hospital, look, you don't want to let that kid go, because it's going to get lost in a pile of, you know, cardboard pizza boxes.
Right.
Oh, it's terrible. It's tragic.
Well, I stopped watching it because it seemed like every episode was basically the same.
Oh yeah, all those shows are.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to what they need to do is combine American Pickers with Hoarders and have the pickers go through the hoarder houses and find the good stuff, and then, you know, that would be interesting, like some sort of Antiques Roadshow Hoarders thing.
Those guys are psychotic, those pickers.
Those pickers, yeah.
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 They're just a little
that's
creepy.
That's a great job, though. What a great job that would be.
Where you drive around and just knock on people's doors and say, I want to buy your shit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm always just amazed with what they know just off the top of their head. Just like Antiques Roadshow. These people bring this tat in, this stuff that you would never imagine in a million years. You know, this just little thing. And they're like, oh, yeah, that was made by Hoosie Dang in 1812, and it's worth $70,000. This guy pulled it out of his attic. It just makes me so mad.
Yeah. I mean, the most recent one I saw, there was a taxidermied orangutan or something in there, and they were debating whether or not they should buy this stuffed monkey. Sorry, stuffed ape. Sorry about that.
Ape.
So, hey, look, I mean, here's a big deal. This is a big story of the day. Lou Dobbs, Nation magazine report here. Based on a year-long investigation, including interviews with 5 immigrants who worked without papers on his properties, the Nation and the investigative fund at the Nation Institute have found that Lou Dobbs has relied for years on undocumented labor for the upkeep of his multi-million-dollar estates and the horses he keeps for his 22-year-old daughter, Hillary, a champion show jumper. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Lou Dobbs.
Well, you know, they got on that investigation after he contracted multiple cases of leprosy. So it was like, well, Lou Dobbs has leprosy. I wonder why that would be. Let's go check his hired help. It's such a non-story to me. It's like, oh, rich people hiring undocumented workers to do their shit labor. Wow, there's a story. Call the AP. Call UPI.
Well, it's not just any rich guy.
No, I know. It's just, but it's, but they're all the same. They all think like Lou Dobbs. Yeah. They don't talk like Meg Whitman. It's Meg just Whitman. Like every right. person Meg Whitman has ever hired in her life is coming out now to say what a fucking bitch she is. Just a hateful suck ass. And you're like, oh yeah, really? Rich people being douchebags? Wow. I know that. I used to work for I used to work on Capitol Hill. And I worked for Clean Water Action, which was a PAC, you know, this environmental green thing, Clean Water Action. And they were responsible for getting the Clean Water Act written and passed. Mm-hmm. And then what they needed was constant funding to keep the operation going. And they had a little office in Arlington, and they would ship us all around D.C. And basically, you get on a bus, and they drop you off, and you canvass the neighborhood, and you beg for money. Beg for handouts for, you know, donations. And one day, they dropped us off in Georgetown. And I'm like, are you kidding? We're not going to get a dime out of this place. I went up to, you know, these multi-million dollar estates in Georgetown. These, well, not estates, but these unbelievable houses. And I got up this woman was in the middle of planning, obviously, this gala bash. And she was just the classic Georgetown, you know, political queen. She had just all the jewelry and the hair. Her hair cost more than my car. At the time, you know, just, and I explained what I was doing there, and she goes, oh no, I don't have any time for you right now. I have no time for you. And I go, oh. I muttered something under my breath, and she goes, she put her hip out into a bit. She said, did you say that's because you're so rich? And I said, well, it rhymes with rich. And she kind of gave me this look. I was terrible at that job. I was absolutely terrible at that job.
Yeah,
I got run off property with weapons at one point. Mm-hmm. I was asked to leave at gunpoint.
That used to happen to me when I was working for Domino's Pizza, which is just as noble an endeavor as your pack.
No, not really, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, we just you know what we'd have to do for Domino's? We'd have to go around door to door in the afternoon and hang those little things on the door, doorknob tags, you know, with the coupons. Uh-huh. And that would invariably get us run off. We would always get run off by people not wanting us, you know, sprinting through their yards.
Well, try actually, you know, knocking on the door and then begging for money.
Right.
This one guy, I got to this one split level where you could see through the screen door. And this was in the dead of summer. I was just out of the hospital. It was the summer that I almost died at college. And so I was recovering. I was just in a really bad way. Yeah. And I'm standing there in the blazing DC sun. This guy's got his screen door open, or the door open with the screen door on. And it's a split level. And so the stairs go up and the stairs go down. And he's down in this dark, dank, it's like where Plinkett would live, right? Just this dank, horrible basement.
Yeah.
And he's in his fucking Barco lounger in his wife beater t-shirt. I mean, it was absolutely out of any TV show or movie you've ever seen about it, just a fucking redneck. And he's got his beverage. I couldn't tell, it was in a coolie. And, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, hi, I'm from Clean Water Action. Hoping I could talk to you. And he goes, no, I'm too fat and lazy to get up and talk to you. And I go, yeah, apparently that's true.
You evidently run into the most honest people in the world. I mean, everyone you've talked about so far has been just like, you know what? You're a dick, and I don't want to talk to you because I'm a dick too. And they're just totally frank. You command this sense of honesty from the people you're soliciting from.
It's like I've got a Jedi mind trick.
So
you got to tell me the truth.
So Lou Dobbs just another big wingnut hypocrite. I mean, it's just it goes on and on and on. I mean,
it'll
Joe Miller.
No consequence.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I don't care. It'll have no consequence. He won't be run out of. I mean, he's already got no. He's not broadcasting anymore, is he?
No.
Yeah, so fuck him. I mean, it'd be a great story if one of his illegals shot him a couple times. Didn't kill him, but, you know, got upset and shot him. That'd be a story. Or gave him syphilis, or, I don't know, stole his diamond-encrusted Mexican beating stick. You know, something interesting. But this is just like, oh, really? Wow, that's... Boy,
see, you're totally crapping. You're totally shitting on this story.
I just don't. But it's just a duh story. It's like the thing that the polling where teabaggers are mostly Christianist religion heavy, mostly Republican white people. You go, oh wow, stop the presses, really? Rich people hiring illegals. Oh, even it, the hypocrisy is just, where's the consequence? Who's going to care that watches Lou Dobbs? Well, that's why he knows about Mexicans so much. He hires the illegals. He hires them.
Yeah.
And then they all go about their, there's just no consequence anymore. There used to be, because there's no shame on that side. You have to have shame to have consequences. That's why the whole Glenn Beck thing to me has run its course as far as I'm concerned. There's no consequence to calling him out. It's just nobody will listen. There's no consequence because there's no shame.
Right.
There's no shame. At least we as Democrats feel embarrassment for ourselves. That's our qualifying, you know, attribute. It's the thing that defines us, our shame and embarrassment being Democrats. There's none of that on the right.
It's not just that. I mean, we have some sort of integrity that the things we say has to be somehow backed up by facts and, you know, reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you're certain, you know, members of our side. And
oh, yeah. I mean, there's hypocrisy on our side, but there's also shame.
That's right.
I think.
So I'm glad you brought up Glenn Beck, because the big thing as far as I'm concerned this week was I just couldn't believe it. As you may or may not know, I have survived two house fires. I will never my
was
house
a house explosion.
Yeah, the first one was 1972. The house literally exploded. And fortunately I was not in it. I was out of the house as soon, you know, moments before it happened. And then the second one was like 1980, and that, you know, it was electrical fire, and they all, like half the house burned down. But I know what it's like to lose a house, and watch the house and all of your stuff get burned to shit. I used to have the most excellent Star Wars action figure collection.
Oh, me too.
And they all turned to shrinky dinks. That was the most heartbreaking thing, is to go in my bedroom the next morning and see all of my Star Wars toys all just shriveled, you know.
Well, I have to tell you, I just introduced Peanut to the Star Wars trilogy, the original.
Yeah.
Because she's old enough now to deal with the monsters and the Sarlacc, the giant sand vagina, and everything.
Is that how you described it to her? She said, oh, yeah, you can check out the giant sand vagina.
Sand vagina, yeah. And she loved it, of course. She loved Jedi with the little Ewoks because she's a stuffed animal freak. Mm-hmm. But she the Empire, obviously, is everybody's favorite with a brain. Yeah. And so I really concentrated on Empire. And as a surprise, after we watched it, I went down in the basement. I dug out my old AT-AT. I've got the full-sized, you know, the toys, the big serious AT-AT.
Yeah.
And I brought it, and now she's treating it. She's got him laden with stickers, little flower stickers and panda bear stickers.
Oh,
he's
my
adorable.
God, really?
I mean, but she sleeps with him now like he's a stuffed animal. She treats him like it's this giant chunk of gray plastic, this imperial death walking, laser firing killing machine. She treats like this stuffed animal.
Yeah.
When she gets in bed, she spreads its legs out like way forward, like it's laying down like a dog. It's the cutest goddamn thing in the world, and it's really my only surviving Star Wars toy. All the rest were stolen or abused. I, you know, blew them up. Like I was like Sid from Toy Story, in my childhood, blowing things up.
You have to explain to her that the AT-AT is not cuddly. I think you need to redefine for her what, you know, cuddly. Yeah.
When she rolls over at night, it crack in the head with the AT-AT.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's. So, I think it's adorable.
So Glenn Beck here, Glenn Beck and Pat Gray, two of our favorite people in the whole world. The last time we played Glenn Beck and Pat Gray doing their wacky comedy stylings was when they were calling you Dingledorf. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to play that tape.
Making fun of Nebraska.
That's right. And so as you may know, based on our fire conversation, we were leading up to this story in Tennessee where this family failed to pay the $75 fee for fire department service, and the fire chief and the fire department, after extinguishing a brush fire nearby, stood by and watched this house burn to the ground and refused to put the fire out. I mean, so this family, the Kranichs, Gene Kranich and family, lost everything. I mean, the house burned to the ground. They lost their pets. They had dogs and cats, maybe some other forms of pets. And they pleaded with this guy. In fact, the neighbor came over and offered the fire chief $500, and they would not put out the fire. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the most awful story I've heard in quite a while. Well, there's a few others that we may get to on the show today. It's like a cavalcade of awful stories today. But so suffice to say, Glenn Beck and Pat Gray turned this hilarious situation into a wacky radio comedy bit.
They think it's awesome.
They think it's hilarious. I'm looking at the video here, and I was just disappointed they weren't wearing their satin morning zoo jackets with the, you know, their names embroidered on the lapels with the, you know, the monkey, the chimp, and then the booth with the free cash flying around in it. Sitting,
I figured they'd be wearing, you know, big yellow fire hats, fireman hats with the like the overalls with nothing underneath.
Yeah,
just loving each other.
I'm surprised they didn't play like the Beavis and Butthead fire, fire, fire thing. But okay, we're going to do this this Glenn Beck. You know what? We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break first, and then we're going to talk about this. Because it's really, you have to hear this. If you haven't heard this yet, you need to hang with us and listen to this Glenn Beck tape. I'm going to skip over. They play a news story about the fire first, and I'm going to skip right past that and get to the meat of it, which is, I think, the lowest low watermark of anything I've ever heard on the Glenn Beck show. And that is saying quite a bit. I mean, it's really, really bad. Today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius. They've got this. I got an email from the Bubble Genius people. They've got their new site almost ready to go. Lots of exciting things happening over there. They're going to be like super duper stars. We're like the Howard Stern to their Snapple, I think. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.com or bubblegeniusfullstop.com. Also at bubblegenius.etsy.com. Hilarious all-natural, eco-friendly products for bath, body, and mental well-being. The coolest soaps and body care stuff you have ever seen. And we have a brand new... You know, the commercial from Bubble Genius last week was easily the most popular segment of the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Quite a stir, I did.
Lots of requests for the Bubble Genius commercial. So they're back with another one, and it's Halloween themed. So here goes the latest from Bubble Genius.
Dracula!
I want to drink your blood.
Dracula, don't be silly. This isn't real blood. It's the fantastic blood bath bubble bath from Bubble Genius.
What?
And like all their great bath and body products, it's 100% vegan and full of yummy smelling suds.
Well then, I want to drink your tub.
Oh, silly Drac. It may smell good, but it doesn't taste good.
I want to wash your back.
Blood bath, bubble bath, and all kinds of spooky, sudsy stuff. This Halloween, only from Bubble Genius.
www.bubblegenius.com.
There you go. Make sure to enter your promo code Bob and Elvis. That's BOBANDELVIS. Get 15% off your entire order. Pure products, pure genius. Bubblegenius.com. And I also realized that last week I made a major, major faux pas. I actually cut off the very end of the Pomegranate Journeys commercial.
I do.
Experience amazing at pomegranate.travel. It's pomegranate.travel, Pomegranate Journeys. Pomegranate combines several of my favorite things in the entire universe, food, wine, and cycling through France and Italy. Custom trips, you can customize your dates and location activities. And the organizer of the trip travels free. But there's also prefab trips, too, that you can also check out at pomegranate.travel. And we have the new pomegranate. Oh, we're going to play. You know what we're going to do? I'm going to replay last week's commercial. I feel terrible that I cut it off. I kind of screwed up last week.
Oh, buongiorno, America.
Thank you for listening to the Roberto e Afonso show. Roberto and Alfonso, they be very good to me. Let me come on the show and talk about the Pomegranate Journeys. The two boys are very smart, very funny boys. They make sure you know who all of the crazy people are, eh? My name is Virgilio Bonaventura. I want to speak a bit about my friends, Pomegranate Journeys, who come and visit me when they're on a tour. I'm here in Italia, attending to my garden, and the tomatoes are looking bravissimo. My tomatoes are the best in all of Toscana. This one in my hand is as big as my neighbor Giacomo's head. He's so jealous, eh? You should see his garden. He couldn't grow a beard. Anyway, if you want a real Italian experience, you come to Italy with the pomegranate. You ride the bicycle through the beautiful countryside, make your appetite nice and big because we love to eat. And the food here is the best in the world. Then we drink some vino and laugh and celebrate la bella vita. That's the good life. My friends, you want to experience the real Italia, you come with pomegranate journeys, you bike and you hike, you eat and drink, you laugh and you live. Let me get this right. The address is www.pomegranate.travel. Ah, Giacomo Daga having me by the leg.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
poor Virgilio. Hey, this segment of the Bob and Elvis Show is brought to you by Dusty Dog Vintage, stylish women's vintage clothing and accessories, along with Mad Men throwback cool for the guys. Shop Dusty Dog Vintage on Etsy at www.dustydogvintage.com.
Full stop.
Full stop. That's right. Well, I got to throw in some sort of standard language in there because I think we're going to really confuse people. I'm already freaking people out with the all of the treat day stuff on Saturdays. Like, what the hell is he tweeting about treat day?
Nice and crispy owl.
That's right. But yeah, okay. So here, this awful, awful Glenn Beck performance where they basically, they're just going to rip the shit out of this poor family that lost everything. I mean, I don't know if you could like really fully wrap your head around the idea of watching everything you own go up in flames. That's it. Gone. All of it. And then being ridiculed in front of an audience of 10 million people. Okay? Really ballsy there, Glenn Beck. You're a pip. You son of a bitch. You rat bastard.
Gene Kranich said he offered to pay whatever it would take for firefighters to put out the flames, but he was told it was too late. They couldn't do anything to stop his house from burning. A county in Tennessee every year says you have to pay $75 if you want fire protection from the city of South Fulton. The Kranichs didn't pay. The mayor said if the homeowners don't pay, they're out of luck. This is what was on television the night after.
Okay, I'm going to skip over this. But already, I just want to bury my fist right into his doughy face.
Was that Glenn or his sidekick? They sound so alike.
Yeah, they sound exactly alike. I think on the Huffington Post, I compared Pat Gray to Quato from Total Recall. He's like the Quato, like the symbiotic parasitic twin.
In the city of South.
Okay, we're going to go
Jennifer,
past all
this.
This
fire went on
well, okay.
for hours because garden hoses just wouldn't put it out. It wasn't until that fire spread to a neighbor's property that the fire department would respond. It turns out the neighbor had paid the fee.
Okay.
I thought they'd come out and put it out. Even if you hadn't paid your $75.
Well, okay. Well,
you're not wrong.
You're wrong.
Even if you hadn't paid your $75, I thought it would go right. Here.
Yeah, and are you hearing this? Are you hearing this?
Oh, yeah.
These sons of bitches. Oh, you know, the guy, it's Tennessee, all right? So the guy, Gene Kranich, has a, you know, a rural accent, the southern kind of, you know, sort of rolling drawl about him, right? So these guys come out of this news report where they have listened to all of the details of this family's lives being destroyed. Pets, family photos. I mean, it was just family. It was just a big fire of nothing but family photos. It would be crushing.
But pets.
But you got
like
pets.
Three now. Cats and a dog, I think. It was a lot of pets.
Exactly. The house. These people have done nothing. Nothing to warrant this kind of ridicule. And here we're going to listen to Pat Gray and Glenn Beck, multi-fucking millionaires, sitting in their fucking radio studio, making fun, like mocking them. Listen to this.
Here's the thing. This yeah, is...
They didn't put it out. This,
okay, all right.
Well, I you thought know, they would, right, but okay. They didn't put it out.
Okay.
I wanted them to put it out. I asked them to put it out, but I paid $75 and they didn't put it out.
Here's the thing. That
That was Pat Gray.
Yeah, and even Glenn Beck was tiring of his shtick there, it sounded like.
They don't stop, though, because then they both start doing it.
Oh, well.
Those who are just on raw feeling are not going to understand. It's $75 at the beginning of the year.
So now, it's not bad enough that they have mocked these people. Now Glenn Beck is going to publicly scold them.
Yeah. We're not paying their bills.
You are bad, bad people. Didn't pay the money. No fire service for you. You son of a bitch. You punch me face rat fucking bastard. Oh my God. You googly-eyed freak with your flesh-colored hair. I want to fucking wring your neck.
What I want to see, I want some sort of audit of this county, of this county's books. Like, yeah. I want to see what percentage of their tax dollar is going to municipal services. Mm-hmm. I want to see what is causing this $75. How common is that? I've never heard in my life of protective services like cops and firefighters having like a premium. Like you got to pay a premium at the. I don't get that.
Yeah,
I want to see where the tax dollars are going in this county.
I mean, not even if you miss your electric bill or if you miss your water bill, you get like. I mean, you could just stop paying your utility bills, and they're still going to send electricity and water to your house for a significant period of time before they shut you down. Okay, if you, if you don't pay your taxes, if you just say, you know what, I'm not going to file a 1040 this year, you're still going to be protected by Homeland Security. You're still going to be protected by the military. You're still going to receive all the benefits of being an American citizen until, you know. When and if you're ever caught for tax evasion or whatever.
Yeah.
This is an atrocity against these people, and Glenn Beck is making it worse. Just shameless. Utterly, utterly shameless.
You pay it, and they put your house out.
I'm going to scold you because I'm a dick.
If you don't pay it, they don't put your house out.
Yeah, but I thought they were going to put the house out even though I didn't pay it.
Okay, if they did that... Would anyone pay their $75?
Well, they would think that they were going to put it out anyway. Yeah, and when they come and don't put it out,
if they
watch your house burn to the ground. That ain't right.
If they did.
Now, bear in mind, these are two Mormons.
Yeah.
These are Pat Gray, Glenn Beck. They're both Mormons. They're both. Yeah. They just finished doing a rally in front of blah-bitty-blah number of people. Talking about
restoring honor.
Restoring honor and talking about God.
Yeah. And the Mormon Church, to give it credit, is probably the most other probably next to the Catholic Church is one of the most volunteerism and charity driven.
Yeah.
I mean, Utah, I think, leads the country in volunteerism and charitable giving. So what the fuck, Glenn? You need to go back and get your magic underpants on there, douche. But, I mean, I can see the libertarian point in what he's saying, which is tragic that I can even fathom the point where, you know, if they did that, then no one would pay. But that's bullshit. I mean, people with the means. This guy, obviously, you know, I saw the clip on Olbermann. I saw the guy and I saw the smoldering ruin behind him. It's obvious that this guy isn't like Daddy Warbucks, you know, with his feet up on the table laughing. You know, through his diamond encrusted cigarette holder and his monocle going, you know, county's not getting my $75. It was obviously a means based thing. He didn't have the means, so he didn't pay it. The people with the means are going to pay it out of just, you know, that's what you do, apparently. But
I know. You know what happens? You know what happens? You don't pay the $75. They rack up penalties. They add interest to it, maybe. They maybe even contact a collection agency or report it on your credit record or even take out a lien on your house, for God's sake. But you don't withhold fire services. You come up with some other way to influence and to convince people to pay their bills. You don't withhold. I mean, you don't stand there with all of the equipment ready to save this house, to rescue their lives, and withhold that because they haven't paid $75.
Yeah. I mean, what you do is you get a count, you get a head count of everybody that did pay and subtract the number of fires they had that year and see what the balance is. See if they had any left over. You know, if 10,000 people paid and there was only 7 house fires, then maybe there's enough in the reserve tank there to put out an extra fire and then charge them, you know, bill them over the course of the rest of the year.
Now, these guys are listened to by 10 plus million people.
Yeah, with the vast majority, I would think, in – I think they're speaking – that's why I didn't get when they were making fun of me and Nebraska. Yeah. It's their breadbasket.
That's their
people. Their dumbasses. That is
their people.
Those are the people that are listening to your show.
That's their people.
What are you doing? I would think they lost quite a bit of that Deep South demographic by acting that way.
Just shows their
– you'd hope.
It shows their true colors in so many ways. They have no interest in restoring honor. They have no interest in any of these bullshit conspiracy theories they talk about. They're only interested in any of this stuff insofar as it makes them rich. Yeah. They are
hilarious.
Exactly. They're tricking and manipulating their audience for their own, you know.
Well, and also what it comes down to is the rubber hitting the road on their political philosophy, right? They've gone out, they've rolled out this bullshit hands-off small government political philosophy, and now when the reality of it kicks in, you know, when something like this happens, they're forced from an ideological perspective to defend it. Yeah. and that is what's going to ultimately fuck the GOP, you know, that whole the Tea Partiers and everybody else right up their no-no place. Mm-hmm. Because it all sounds great. You know, it all sounds fantastic until the reality of it kicks in, until there's a real human side to it. And then people are going to go, well, fuck this. Yeah. If this is the outcome of my hardcore ideology, then maybe I ought to rethink.
Right.
That's what, you know, if it takes a couple of houses burning down and just the human aspects of their policies to show through, then, you know, eventually they're done. They're done.
Yeah. A couple of heartless dick bags, both of these guys. Heartless,
should be
soulless.
Entirely ashamed of that little pony show they just did.
Soulless.
But again, there's no shame.
Yeah, no, there's not. No, they don't care. And it's evidenced in the fact that Pat Gray just doesn't give a flying rip about what's funny and what's not funny. He's just going to, you know, just completely lay into this unfair attack on a complete and total innocent. Just go into this voice without any knowledge in terms of, or without any sense of what makes doing a voice actually funny. You don't pick on someone whose house just burned down, who has done nothing to deserve it. You go after people who have done something bizarre or weird or bad, and then you mock them, and that's comedy. You don't go, I mean, this is basic comedy 101, and Pat Gray, with 10 million listeners, doesn't know. He doesn't get it. What's next, Pat? Stroke victims, cancer patients, homeless children?
AIDS.
AIDS. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the accent is funny and the mocking is appropriate when the, you know, when the recipient or the person you're mocking has inflicted ignorant, you know, has the ignorance to inflict pain or suffering on someone else.
That's right.
Or, you know, whose actions have caused harm. Then it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But this person can't help the way they, you know, they can't help his where he lives and what his social background is, and is a complete innocent. Like you said, it's just a tragedy, and they're going to sit back and mock it.
Yeah. It's so typical. I mean, it's just so typical. These guys are a couple of morning zookeepers disguising themselves as being wingnut, you know, very serious wingnut talkers. They're not. They're not. They're one step removed from donkey basketball. Okay? Let's see if there's any more here. You know.
If they did put the fire out and make an exception for your house and you didn't pay,
then others get your house put out too. That's what the fire department does.
Right, but they don't have the money to put the fires out. They can't keep the fire department.
What's the fire department for if you don't put out fire?
I can't take any more of that.
No, please don't. That's horrible.
I mean, it really is arguably the most awful clip I've ever heard of the Glenn Beck Show, and I've heard a lot of Glenn Beck. You try to suffer, like Oliver Willis is often assigned by Media Matters to listen and watch Glenn Beck. I don't know how he does it, but if you watch Oliver's Twitter feed as he's watching the Glenn Beck Show, it's hilarious to look at. I don't know how he does it, because I've tried to look at that show and I get exhausted after about 2 minutes. I mean, and that's on a good day.
Yeah. No, I did it. This wingnut in town challenged me, and I could not get through a solid hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just physically assaulted my senses.
Yeah.
I just could not, because in the first, before the first commercial break, I had about 8 pages of Descent, just to untangle his web of retardation. So
honorable man, honorable guys, these guys, Glenn Beck, should get Morning Zoo,
cancer in his dick hole.
Yeah, one up to me, my friend.
Well, he should.
Yeah, there you go. Good God.
What else is in the news?
Yeah.
I was enjoying the Todd Palin email. I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
They're sharp political players is what they are.
They're just, it's like the Beverly Hillbillies. These
it
guys
is.
Are just,
it's unbelievable.
Right. Here comes the Sarah Palin campaign.
Go and get me an endorsement. They just think it's quid pro quo. We endorse you. Mm-hmm. You endorse us for something that we're not even technically running for.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't endorse him for president? She's not actually running yet, but no.
See, now here's the appropriate comedy lesson. Making fun of the Palins, funny, okay?
Yes.
Making fun of a fire victim, someone who's lost everything that they own in the world and did nothing to you, not funny, okay? But the Palin, I mean, it is, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there are these emails that leaked out with Todd Palin wigging out on Joe Miller for not endorsing Sarah Palin for president.
And they're all just, and they're aghast. They're like, it's like somebody needs to buy them, you know, political campaigning for dummies, you know, like a whole set of these books. I mean, even I, who have never, I've never been, you know, never run a major campaign, can just look at their behavior and think they've got absolutely nobody advising them on what to do and what not to do. They are absolutely so up their asses.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable narcissism coming out of this camp. And I mean, any political advisor worth their salt would just be vomiting, you know, blood at the displays of ignorance coming out of these people. It's unbelievable.
Well, you see, Sarah Palin's going after Pete Rouse, the interim chief of staff, right?
Oh yeah. Cause he's in Alaska.
Yeah. But that she insists that the OFA, the Obama campaign, stole the change slogan from the Palin gubernatorial campaign of 2006.
Yeah, she said that in her book.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Redman made fun of that. She, you know, everything Obama did, she did first.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously better. Because no other campaign in the history of the world has ever used the idea of change.
Right.
Because that's what a fucking election is. If you're not the incumbent, you're pretty much the change candidate. It's why everyone votes for the other guy. Change.
Yeah. And I mean, so just stupid ballsy.
Yeah.
I mean, just stupid ballsy.
I love that the Todd email verifies for everybody that it's what she's thinking about.
Yeah.
She is gonna run for president.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I cannot wait. I can't tell you how enthusiastic I am for 2012.
It's going to be.
I just cannot wait.
I mean, this show is going to be nothing but us, like, guzzling beer and eating popcorn as we replay the latest tapes of hilarity from the week of
Sarah Palin. If there are any.
Campaign.
I mean, that's the thing. It's going to be a stealth campaign. We'll have to be reading things off of Facebook, apparently, to get at these candidates. What sound clips will there be?
Right.
She just it'll just be on Fox, and we just have to hope that she flubs, you know, her pre-written lines that got sent down from Murdoch.
Yeah.
I don't know how you run a major campaign for national office off of Facebook and Twitter. Yeah.
I think Mitt Romney is the only Republican frontrunner who isn't on the Fox News payroll. So you wonder how exactly they're going to approach all of these candidates. I mean, you got Huckabee has his own Fox News show. Palin's a Fox News correspondent. Who else? I can't think of any of the other frontrunners.
There are. I mean,
Newt Gingrich is on the payroll. Yeah. Newt Gingrich is on the payroll.
He's not going to run. He would get pummeled. Yeah. He's too smart. He wants to. He doesn't want that kind of scrutiny. That's it's like the Christine O'Donnell thing. It's like a deer in the headlights now. She's got this unbelievable past, this tangled Gordian knot of awful.
Yeah.
And now she's like, I won? Now it's like this. If she'd lost, no one would give a fuck. If she said that aliens, you know, her mother was a witch with an alien living in her brain, it didn't matter what she said if she lost. But now she's won her primary, and she's, oh, shit, now there's scrutiny. Newt knows that. He knows he doesn't want that scrutiny.
Yeah.
Somebody crawl up his ass with an IRS audit and look at all these PACs and all this money, and he'd be done in a day.
Yeah.
Guy hadn't got an ethical bone in his giant, fat, thumb-shaped head.
I'm just looking forward to see, like, Sean Hannity's head is just going to explode. Like, who do I choose? Who do I endorse? I don't know. I like all these people.
He doesn't like Romney. No one likes Romney. Romney doesn't have a chance in hell with the teabag.
Oh, no, I'm talking specifically.
Chance in hell.
Yeah, I'm talking specifically of all the Fox News staffers who are going to be running for president.
Well, yeah, and how unprecedented is that? Yeah. Looking back, you know, beyond earlier than, say, 2008, how unprecedented is it to have major political party nominees or potential nominees on the payroll of a media outlet like Fox? It's terrifying.
It is. It is.
It's absolutely terrifying.
I like the new meme referring to Fox News Channel as the Fox News pack, because that's exactly what it is, you know?
Right. Given money directly to the GOP, and why would you do that? You already have enough influence.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you know what? While we're just really rolling here, there's just a few more really shitty, shitty stories from this week. I mean, you're gonna be shocked at this one that we're having to get to after the break. Today's show brought to you, of course, by Bubble Genius. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. Free soap if you go and you vote on Election Day. Drum up some progressive enthusiasms. Enthusiasms. Team.
Team. Teamwork.
Get your I voted sticker on Election Day. Take a picture of yourself. Send that picture to Bubble Genius. Free soap. Free soap for you. In fact, I got a free soap this week. It's actually it's red soap in the shape of a human heart.
Yeah, I got one of those too.
And it's called Heart On. Get it? Heart On. Heart On. Anatomical heart soap with the pomegranate scent. Pomegranate is, see, how appropriate, pomegranate.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, Jesus, our whole sponsorship revolves around pomegranates.
And everyone's connecting. Have you noticed on Twitter, like, Pomegranate and Bubble Genius and, you know, Dusty Dog Vintage? They're all, like, converging.
Pretty soon you'll be able to ride a bike made of soap through...
there through you go.
That's vintage clothing stores of Italy.
That's right. You guys write that down. We want the soap tour. Get your free soap and you'll get a code for a big discount. That'll happen in the first 2 weeks of November. Make sure to enter your promo code when you go to Bubble Genius and you buy your wide variety of handmade vegan soaps. Make sure to enter the promo code Bob and Elvis. That's BOBANDELVIS. Get 15% off your entire order at bubblegenius.etsy.com or bubblegenius.com. And we now have speaking of pomegranate, we have a new commercial from Pomegranate. See, I replayed last week's commercial, but there's a new commercial with Virgilio, which we're going to play right now. Here you go.
Ciao, Americano friends. I hope you are enjoying the Roberto Alfonso podcast. Roberto, don't worry about the leaky roof. No dumpster for you. I make a few calls. Since last week, a Pomegranate Journeys came cycling through our village with a beautiful group of smiling people. They were having a wonderful time. We toured the museum and feasted on my wife's pasta and truffles. Then we tasted the local wines and my homemade olive oil. Pomegranate has trips all over Italy, Tuscany, Sicily, Piedmont, Puglia. You go to the website at pomegranate.travel and sign up. You tell them Virgilio sent you and you get a $100 trip of credit. Now, the men on the bike tour noticed I was scratching my coyons a little too often, and they gave me some magic powder from the Bubble Genius.
Oh
they
my
call
God.
It, I love you, man. My boy Zedda never felt so free. And Giacomo's a dog, he needed some of the powder on his doggy bag. Now, he don't go at me with the teeth, he go at me with the nads.
Wow.
Just Bob and Elvis into your pants.
Yeah, well,
with you wherever
pants.
You go. Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis
World's
Show
colliding.
Podcast section on iTunes.
My God, everything's twisting around itself in a sort of a nard shape. You know,
you need to tell the ladies at Bubble Genius, though, to you need to give them my real name because my mailman is eyeing me suspiciously.
I'll give them your real name. I just needed that permission. This is not stuff that I reveal. You know, willy nilly.
Yeah, that first package. You know, rolled the window. Is this you? And I'm like, yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's me. Don't Google it.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, these are great, independent, progressive businesses. I strongly urge you to support these. I mean, we talk about corporations and how bastardly they are. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the way to stick it to the man, fight the power, is to support progressive businesses. Pomegranate Journeys at pomegranate.travel, and also Bubble Genius at bubblegenius.com. So, please do, and tell them Bob and Elvis sent you. You know, we were talking last week about this story in which this woman was, like, basically violated by TSA. I mean, just all of her shit gone through, and they're tearing through her wallet, and then finally they call her husband and suggest to him that she's fleeing the country with all their money in a quote-unquote divorce situation.
Wouldn't that be funny if that turned out to be the truth, though?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But, so, I mean, there's another news story that I think is along those lines, and it's essentially authority run amok. There's a woman in, I don't know where it is.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter really. But here's a bit of the news story. This is terrible. This has to do with foreclosures and banks just completely overstepping their bounds.
An Orange County homeowner thought a burglar was breaking in, but it was actually someone from her bank. Channel 9's Mark Boyle talked to the woman who's in foreclosure proceedings. And Mark, what did the bank do that made her call 911?
Bob, a man from the bank was replacing the lock by cutting it, all while the homeowner was inside her home right here dialing 911. She thought the person at the door right here, you can see where the lock was changed, was an intruder.
Nancy Jacobini was sitting inside her Orange County home alone when she heard a noise at the door.
I was very scared. I didn't know who it was.
Jacobini grabbed her cell phone, locked herself inside a bathroom, and dialed 911. This happened last Tuesday.
So there's a male outside and inside? Is that?
They've got
I don't
him.
Know. I don't know. I'm locked in my bathroom. I don't know.
Ugh.
I just know somebody is breaking. Somebody broke into my house.
The call lasted 10 minutes.
Did they kick the door in? How did he get the door open? Do you know?
I don't know.
Once Orange County Sheriff's deputies showed up, it was determined the man who broke the lock on Jacobini's front door was actually a contractor hired by her mortgage company, J.P. Morgan Chase. The bank claims the home was abandoned because Jacobini never established a mortgage payment plan and utilities had been shut off. But that's not what we found.
Just by the looks of it, it may look dark in this home like there's no power coming
I think,
to it, but if you turn the switch.
I think you get the idea. Jeez. I mean, they basically, you know, this.
It's like the Simpsons where Homer joins the union, becomes the head of the union at the power plant.
Yeah.
And there's a knock at the door and he goes, who is it? And they go, goons. And he goes, who? And they go, hire goons. That's what it is now. You just, there's a knock at your door and they get goons.
That's
hired
it.
Goons.
That's right.
Hired goons. We're going to change the locks on your house without telling you we're doing that and while you're in the house. That's awesome.
Right.
Of course, that's only her side of the story. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they tried to, you know, they called and called and called. But Chase is, they're awesome. Their practices are unbelievably cool. The shit they will do.
Yeah.
I should know.
Yeah.
Because they're my mortgager.
And you're being obviously facetious.
Oh, yes. They suck balls.
Yeah.
Chase.
Yep. My bank that, you know, that who I have for my mortgage, they routinely will double bill me for a mortgage payment.
Oh.
I will go and I will pay physically, and then they will, even though I don't keep any money in my checking account with them, they will routinely just automatically withdraw my entire mortgage payment from my checking account, thus overdrafting it.
Wow.
And because there's no money in it, I'm not keeping up with the daily balance, if you know what I mean. So yeah. Invariably what happens is overdraft fees. After overdraft fee, after overdraft fee, after overdraft, days on end of overdraft fee, suddenly I go in and I just, you know, as a matter of routine, I look at my checking account balance and it's like minus $500. And then I've got to call. I've got to go through the Pythagorean sort of gauntlet of trying to figure out, you know, how the hell to get this money back and convince them that, yes, I did write you a check. I dropped it off. It was on time. What the hell are you doing to my account? And on top of all of that, my bank took $300 million in TARP funds.
Oh, womp womp.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, right. Of course. This.
Shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chase took a bunch too, but they didn't need it. They were forced. Geithner forced them to take it.
Really? Yeah.
So I can't use that over them. But they did make, in the first quarter of 2010, they made $3 billion in profits. So.
On top of all of that, there's this this Reuters piece. And this is a little disturbing. This is from Balloon Juice.
Mm.
A bill that homeowners advocates warn will make it more difficult to challenge improper foreclosure attempts by big mortgage processors is awaiting President Barack Obama's signature after it quietly zoomed through the Senate last week.
Oh, what?
The legislation could protect bank and mortgage processors from liability for false or improperly prepared documents. So if they
screw a good one, he better sign that.
Yeah. The White House is looking it over, evidently.
What is this thing about the administration keeping something under wraps about the oil spill? What the hell is that all about?
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw that and I was going to talk about that on the show. I was like, oh, you know what? Elvis is going to hate that.
Well, no, I mean, I don't get it. But I read the story and it's like the Obama administration is under fire. And then it said that this was discovered based on an investigation started by the Obama administration. So I'm like, they're examining themselves and finding themselves to have done something wrong. What the fuck? What's going on?
It's never that easy because, as I'm sure you know from, you know, your dad having worked for the guy, the bureaucracy is so twisted and convoluted and dense that it's a miracle anything gets done.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find that. I mean, there's just, I've had lots of issues with how the whole thing has been handled with the BP oil spill. And we don't know what exactly is real and what's not real. Did you see that picture of that waterway in, you know, kind of,
That looked like gravel.
Yeah, it looked like gravel. And it looked like a road. It looked like a sort of a cracked gravelly road. Mm-hmm. And you know what it was? It was dead fish.
Yeah, but then I saw a follow-up to that said it didn't have so much to do with the oil spill as it did some natural factors. Yeah.
Well, regardless of what actually caused it, my God. I mean, there were...
Yeah, it was an amazing picture. It totally looked like asphalt.
Yeah. I mean, there were...
We're taking good care of our planet.
Yeah, we really are. And did you hear about that slut in Hungary? Did you see? Like, there's... I think it's like 160 million gallons of toxic radioactive sludge.
All right.
Has just flooded this this town in Hungary.
We're going to get toxic Avengers now?
Yeah, and it's headed for the Danube River.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah. I mean, literally,
radioactive. It's like nuclear waste.
Yeah, it's like I. You know what? I'm not entirely sure what kind of waste it is. Radioactive though, and it's like this brown. It looks like, I hate to say it, it looks like chocolate milk. It looks like it's like this reddish brown sludge, and of course there are people out there with like snow shovels and sneakers, standing in it like ankle deep or knee deep, like pushing it away from their houses. And it's just like a river, like an ocean of this stuff washing past cars down the street, you know, around houses. I mean, it looks like the tsunami footage, but with toxic radioactive sludge.
Nice. Nice. Well, what those people need to do is they need to buy themselves the 9,000 SUX in RoboCop and drive those around really fast and hit the guys that have the melty faces and the long bony fingernails.
Right.
That come out like the bad guy in RoboCop came out of that toxic pool and then got run over and his head exploded like a melon. That was my favorite part.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the worst serial killer in the world was revealed on Dexter this week. Did you see that? That guy with the animal removal guy that picks up roadkill.
Yeah, and then just puts him in tanks and dumps him in a very shallow bog.
Yeah, that's right. And they're all floating there, like bobbing around like ice cubes, you know.
And there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Dexter wades in about up to his knees.
Yeah, and not just even
pops one open, and there's a dead body right in there.
Yeah. This guy's not too sharp.
Clearly going to be Dexter's next victim, and there was did you see the weird scene where Dexter's trying to entrap this guy and kind of get a read on him, and he takes like this raccoon and just dumps it in the middle. Dexter does takes his raccoon, dumps it in the middle of the road, calls the animal removal for dead raccoon. I mean, who does that? First, I would be, if I was the animal removal guy, if I was the roadkill guy. That would be a big red flag. This guy is pulled over because of a raccoon.
Yeah.
And so the removal guy can look down and he kind of like Dexter is able to analyze it and say, wait a minute, this was killed elsewhere and put here. And then they're like, okay, bye. Yeah. And they turn around and go back to the guy scoops it up and dumps it off and drives away.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the best part of that episode was getting the fuck rid of Aster and Cody, those pieces of shit. The last vestiges of Rita have been scoured from the show, and I hope they don't come back.
Wait, how did that happen? Did I entirely miss that?
Gave them to the grandparents. They're gone.
How did I miss that? Did I fall asleep or something?
I danced a tarantella on my table with my click-clacks because I fucking hate Aster, that bitch. And Cody, the kid, apologies to the kid, but that kid has had 5 years to get his acting on and cannot. Yeah. And he's just a giant bowl cut waste of my time. So, but I really thought they missed the ball. Remember a couple seasons back when Rita's mom got all up when Dexter had to pretend to be a junkie to cover up his
what he was doing. Yeah, I
hated and Rita's mom came in and got all up his ass, and they missed a huge opportunity to play out the in-law relationship. You know, their daughter's just been murdered.
Wasn't that a different
and Dexter's obviously creepy in some way. And they don't give her parents anything to say.
But it was a different mom though, wasn't it?
Rita's had two
different moms. Like the mom in that episode with such a terrible plot. I hated that Dexter has to pretend to be in rehab.
Yeah, that was awful.
But I remember the mom was like a celebrity, like I can't remember who it was. It's like a well-known TV actor playing the mom, and now it's just a sort of a nondescript, you know, like old lady mom.
Anyway. Yeah, it seems like it was someone like Leslie Ann Warren or
It was like
those,
that.
One of those sort of B-list old 80s movies.
And, you know, I wanted to get your read on this. Since the first season of Dexter, I've never really regarded Dexter as, and I know he self-defines as a serial killer in the show, but I've always regarded Dexter as being a superhero. Am I way off base about that? That Dexter is nothing but a superhero who just ends up, instead of imprisoning his, you know, villains, he kills them.
But you know, it one of the most complex characters on TV, just really a fascinating character to watch. And the thing that really stunned me, and I was bitching at him as I was watching it. I was saying, no, Dexter, no, is when he fucking killed that guy in the bathroom. Oh, yeah. Just clubbed this guy to death with a little mini anchor.
Yeah,
I'm like, that is not. I mean, that guy may have been a douche, and he was, you know, chewing Dexter out, but he didn't deserve to die. I mean, that went so. And I thought Harry was going to show up and read him the code, you know, talk about the code. But Harry's like, oh, that's the first human thing you've done all day. Like, what the fuck are we doing now? We're just killing people.
Yeah,
because I love Dexter if he walks that very rigid code, right? Yeah. If he's really adhering to it. But when he goes into just murder territory, just cold blooded murder, now I can't support that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know,
that's where
makes my liberalism itch.
Exactly, and that's where he sort of ceases to be a superhero.
Yeah.
when he goes to that extreme. And the Dexter is and Michael C. Hall are at their
brilliant.
Finest when just absolutely brilliant when Dexter has to be restrained, when he has to, when he just struggles with every fiber of his being
to be human
and to play this character and to sort of repress, you know, this dark passenger of his that makes him want to
they'll never beat people. That first the pilot episode was so brilliant when he's driving around Miami in the dark and catches up with that minister and I mean just when you just first get your sense of what this guy is about it was just something really thrilling about that but you know what's that guy Bob Bennett the old morals the morals guy the American Virtues guy who's like a fucking gambling addict that guy he was bitching the other day about marijuana and how this show Weeds you know the show Weeds with Mary Louise Parker he bitching about that, about how this popular show is about pot and people smoking pot and people doing pot. I'm like, dude, a much better show on the same network is about a fucking serial killer. Yeah. And you're worried about the pot dealer? I was like, you got your priorities all wrong.
Yeah.
If you're sweating the hot mom that sells pot,
yeah,
you got this guy killing people for and he's the hero of the show.
Right, right.
Let's demonize pot. Nebraska just needs to pass a law that makes it legal to grow exactly like 1 ounce more than the amount that I grow.
Right.
So that then I'll feel I can breathe a sigh of relief.
Now, do you do like our friend Buzz and do you disguise yours like tomato plants or something?
I don't need to do that. I've got 10 acres, for Christ's sake. No one's coming out here doing like a troll of my 10 acres. That I mean, you get your ass bit off up there on that hill. But a badger will. I basically found like 4 monster badger nests, these holes that they dig in the sides of my hill. And I just planted the crop right in between those, you know, right in the periphery of those 4 holes. So if somebody go up there, they're going to get their ass bit off.
Yeah. And where do you end up?
Shoot a possum the other day.
So you had to shoot a possum? Was it the possum was eating your weed?
No, he was eating my cat food, bastard. Big, fat asshole sitting on my back table. God, they're so ugly. They're so ugly and horrible.
Yeah.
I just have no compunction. If it was a raccoon, I'd be like, oh, go ahead and eat that cat food, raccoon. That's all right. But possums just got to go. They're mean and they're ugly.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, they're nasty. Oh, yeah. God. Bastard.
So maybe he was eating the cat food because he got the munchies from eating your weed.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about
that.
That's
entirely possible.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Stupid pot-eating possums.
There's a crap load of stuff that we didn't get to.
Yeah, always is.
There was a big campaign finance thing. Ugh.
Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, no one cares. It's only, I think, the most important issue of our time.
It really is. You know. It really is.
We don't stand a chance against these bastards. They Rove and Gillespie are spending $18 million on this massive ad buy. 75% of that $18 million, totally anonymous donors. We have no idea who's... And this is from the Maddow show last night, by the way.
Could be Vladimir Putin.
75% from anonymous donors. 15% from just 3 guys. Trevor Rees-Jones, Robert Rowling, and Carl Linder. So 75%, we don't know who they are. 15% from 3 guys, and then there's like 9-10% of miscellaneous donors to this American Crossroads and Crossroads GPS.
My ass.
Staggering, staggering levels of awfulness. By the way, the DSCC, Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, though that fundraising, 96% public.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this other fundraising, totally private.
Nobody cares.
Chamber
You'll
of Commerce.
Never get. They did a West Wing about that. It's like a campaign finance firm. Nobody gives a shit about that.
Yeah.
And it's the number one thing we should give a shit about.
Go
Who
look at
the, is spending money on our campaigns.
Right. Go to Think
on
Progress.
Both sides.
Read the Think Progress piece about the Chamber of Commerce. There's a big hoo-ha going there where they're donating to Republicans. They're not reporting any of it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. You fudge with us. You fudge with the best. We'll be back next Thursday for more Shoe. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.